Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Our next guest is an ESPN Sports Center host. He gets to go to all the great events. I'm incredibly jealous every time I see him on the TV. His name is Phil Murphy, and he's been good enough to join us. Good morning, Phil.
Hey, good morning. How are you going?
I'm going well. Please tell me your bags are packed and your ticket is stamped for a trip to Arizona.
Well, I wouldn't say my bags are packed. My wife can confirm. I wait till the 11th hour. And then some. And we have some cool shows launching here in Connecticut at our ESPN headquarters before I get on a plane to Arizona. But I've already started selecting the clothes because it is the northern winter up here. We get that pretty full on where I live. Arizona should be lovely for Super Bowl week. So by the time game day rolls around between the Eagles and the Chiefs, I will be in much more comfortable circumstances. And everything is building up. We thought this would be the calm before the storm. And I know it's morning for you all. Sometime around midnight, your time, Tom Brady decided to break the internet by announcing his retirement. So I said, calm before the storm. The storm's kind of already here.
Yeah, it's going to be a two-week storm. I've been to the headquarters at ESPN in Bristol and can confirm it is rather chilly over in that part of the world. So no doubt you'll be looking forward to getting out to Arizona. Let's start with Tom Brady. We spoke about him earlier. It's a big story. It's a massive story, to be honest. And he went about it in a more understated way because of, I guess, maybe there's a hint of embarrassment about the fact that he retired once and then came back. This time it does feel like it is for good. Is it a surprise to you? I mean, I thought, you know, Vegas, then San Fran, then maybe returning to Tampa, and then retirement was a distant fourth or fifth. But did it surprise many in the States?
I would say moderate surprise because, as you mentioned and as you alluded to, there were a couple of franchises that seemed like they might be a decent fit to plug in a quarterback of Tom Brady's stature and even just his leadership and his galvanizing ability could take that team to the next level. The Vegas Raiders are one that jump out right away. But given how this season went and the fact that, yes, they won their division and they were a playoff team, but it was probably the worst division in the NFL. If the Bucs were situated in any other quartet, they probably would not have made the playoffs, and it would have been a much more disappointing end for Tom, and he knows his body better than anybody. When he said a few years ago that he had hoped to play till age 45, a lot of people rolled their eyes because, I mean, unless your favorite sporting code is golf, 45 is well beyond your playable years, at least at a professional level, and Tom Brady did it, and he accomplished that. He and the Bucs won a Super Bowl. In year two, they lost a close playoff game to the eventual champion Rams. This felt like another step back. And if Tom's, you know, feeling his body, he knows Father Time is ultimately undefeated. And he knows that, yeah, I said 45, I made it to 45. There's no reason to get to 46 and have my latter years be anything anything less than respectable. I was there on the grounds when he and the Bucs came back and beat the Saints. There still was that Brady magic. So although he didn't go out with a Super Bowl win, you could still say in some ways he went out on top because that team did have its moments, and he did show he has a little bit left in the tank.
The other quarterback, legendary quarterback, whose future is up in the air, probably not from a retirement perspective, but certainly where he's going to be playing his football next year is Aaron Rodgers. He's a polarizing figure, particularly on the back of the I'm immunized saga. Does it feel likely he's played his last game for Green Bay, and does it sound like he might even be keeping the green and heading to gangrene, heading to New York City?
Yeah, I mean, we had this conversation not far from this time a year ago. I barrack for the Broncos, and they were considered at one point the odds makers' favorites for Aaron Rodgers to play this past season. This conversation of, hey, you've traded away my top receiver. You're not drafting talent around me at wide receiver. You're not drafting skill position talent around me as they hadn't in Green Bay in the first round in his tenure. There were a lot of thoughts last season that Rodgers might leave. And then he ends up staying around. Yes, they get rid of Devontae Adams. But the Packers did recede. I mean, they missed the playoffs. They lost a winnable game at home. And now they're in a really difficult salary cap situation in which they're coming to a crossroads. Either they keep Aaron Rodgers and lose a lot of their skill position talent, namely an Aaron Jones, or they elect to keep those players, but then that salary has to come from somewhere, and it would be parting ways with Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers is the, now that Brady's gone, the second oldest active position player remaining. So he is in his career twilight, but still he showed he has a lot left in the tank. You put him around a team with a little bit more skill position talent. You named it the New York Jets. They're a certain suitor. They're certainly a suitor, I should say. I mean, there's no reason to think that Aaron wouldn't be keen on that. And he's gone on some radio programs and hinted, hey, as long as it's an amicable departure, I'd be okay playing elsewhere. It seems like this is a very open conversation. And I would say, whilst a slight coin flip, it's slightly more likely than not he has played his last game in Green Bay.
Interesting. That'll be a story that we'll all follow very closely. You mentioned your Denver Broncos. They've just landed a new head coach. It's cost them a pretty penny. It's cost them between $85 and $100 million. So it's a sizable contribution, but the new ownership in Denver have got no issues when it comes to cash. But Sean Payton, the Super Bowl winning head coach of the New Orleans Saints, he took some time off and now he's back in Denver and he's going to try and reinvigorate and rectify the career of Russell Wilson, who was owed a lot of money and his season couldn't have been any worse.
Yeah, they're pretty much married to Wilson for the foreseeable future because of the nature of his contract. And you mentioned the amount they paid in dollars. As a fan, that doesn't bother me too much. The Walton family, which owns the Walmart super mega stores that are ubiquitous here in the United States, they're the ones who are paying that, not me. But as a fan, they did have to give up multiple draft picks. Mm. And the draft's coming around late April. Denver was already a little thin in their draft capital. Now they give up the first-round pick that they had from the 49ers, so it was a late first-round pick, and another future second-round pick for a team that already had given up four day one and two draft picks to bring Russell Wilson to town. Whatever their existing roster is and whatever Sean Payton can get out of this existing roster is what they're going to get. And I think Denver is taking a calculated risk. They couldn't stand pat. They had to take a risk, and they had to roll the dice. They're taking a calculated risk that Sean Payton can turn back the clock on Russell Wilson and show some of that latter season form that he had. He had some decent spells late on in the season as Denver won some games and showed some offensive rhythm. You couple that with an okay salary cap situation, maybe get a free agent or two in town. Then it's a team that I think is targeting somewhere between 7 and 9 wins next year would be, I think, has to be marked as a success because they also share a division with Kansas City, who's going to be playing in the Super Bowl in a few days' time. And they share a division with the L.A. Chargers, who are trying to reinvigorate their offense. And they have one of the most exciting young quarterbacks in the NFL in Justin Herbert. So Denver trying to keep up with the Joneses as much as they can. The Waltons are doing their part and paying as much as they can and as much as they have to hopefully get the proper head coach in position.
Let's talk about this upcoming Super Bowl, because even though there's a lot of news getting around about Brady and Rodgers and Sean Payton, the Super Bowl is the biggest sporting event in the world. And we've got the number one seeds from both conferences, so there's no Cinderella story. We've got the Eagles, who are easily the best team in the NFC all season. We've got the Kansas City Chiefs, who some said they'd regress, but they have not regressed at all. They're the number one seed. We've got brothers squaring off, Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce going head-to-head for the first time ever. We've got two black starting quarterbacks, which is the first time that's ever happened in a Super Bowl. And we've got the youngest combined starting quarterbacks as well with Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes. So there is no shortage of storylines as we head toward this Super Bowl.
Yeah, and it's a good thing there's no shortage of storylines because it is a two-week buildup. It's a very slow, gradual buildup throughout the week. And come this weekend, a lot of our ESPN colleagues here are going to be making the trip out west to Arizona. They'll be on the ground. We are having chats today. And there's local interest as well. Jordan Mailata out of Sydney, terrific. You want to talk about a Cinderella story. I know there aren't with the teams, but you take a kid who didn't start playing this football code until his teens, has a terrific body for the game, takes one of the most important positions for a franchise that's trying to quickly rebuild, and now he's an anchor on one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, and he signed, you know, an 8-figure U.S. contract. I mean, you multiply his 60, 70-odd million U.S. dollars times 1.4 if you need to do the calculation. A terrific story there. Aaron Sipos, the punter for the Eagles, we'll see if he's fit to play. He's somebody who has an AFL background. and even Matt Leo on the practice squad for Philadelphia. So there is more localized interest than is typical of a Super Bowl for anybody who might be watching in Australia. And again, you got guys from rugby league, you have guys from AFL. And, you know, Matt Leo, he said he was out on a smoke break when he saw a Super Bowl highlight. And he said, oh, I reckon I could do that. And turns out he can. And he is. And he's on his way, perhaps, to suiting up for the Eagles next season. So it is the pinnacle event in American sport. It's hard to articulate how far and away American football popularity here is compared to other programs. The best I can do, the most 100 watched television programs in the United States last year, any sport, politic, entertainment, anything, 86 of them were NFL games. 86 of the 100 most popular programs viewed were NFL games. Several of the other ones were Olympics and college football. One of the remaining 14 out of the 86 that weren't NFL, one of the remaining 14 was the program that aired immediately following last year's Super Bowl. Just kind of residuals for people who, you know, didn't
forgot to turn the tally off.
That's exactly it. It's that popular. It's that massive. And it's one of the biggest annual sporting events, but it is a cool time for the game that I know and love to be on the world stage. We have two deserving teams, a litany of deserving storylines, and we hope to capture that for everybody on ESPN, particularly over the course of next week when Charlie Arnold, Aaron Itaide will be on the ground all week, and I'll join them for the coverage on the weekend.
Well, you mentioned some of the big dogs will be rolling into town, your Stephen A. Smiths and your Greenies and those types. Are they good folks? Now, they are colleagues of yours, but these guys are living in a different stratosphere. They're almost bigger than the athletes these days. Are they good guys? Are they easy to get on with?
To a man. I mean, it's incredible in this business how easy it is for, you know, the big corporate monolith, if they decide you're not worth the trouble, to move on and find somebody else. And there's a reason those guys have tenure, because they're experts in the field, their work ethic matches it, and their character. I mean, you know, the production staff has far more say than people realize with who hosts which shows. So the fact that you see them so regularly shows that they are, at least tolerable and many of them great to work with. And I've shared the road with many of the guys you've named in NBA playoffs and NFL playoffs, and been fortunate enough to, you know, have a drink and just talk sport. And it's just like you would expect watching on TV. So, I mean, it is kind of what you would think and what you would hope for what's going on in this business. And it's honestly, it's something I'm looking forward to. I'm getting into town Saturday, and I've already, you know, made my schedule fit. So we have an ESPN event at one of the hotels, so I'll be there catching up with some of those guys I haven't seen in some time.
Now, we will allow you to flip-flop between, because we know Patrick Mahomes has got an ankle issue. We know there's things that can happen between now and the Super Bowl. It is a long way away, and there's a big build-up. But are you leaning one way or the other? The Eagles could not have been more impressive against a team playing with one hand tied behind its back in San Francisco. But they've been impressive all season. Kansas City, a lot of people thought Cincinnati would roll in there and beat them. They'd beaten them the three previous times. Have you got a leaning this far out?
I do. One of my colleagues here, Scott Van Pelt, whenever he has a pick or a tip to make, the question he always goes back to is, how good is your good? What's your ceiling on a good day? The Eagles have been so consistent all year. The Chiefs have had some duds, some games I'm sure they would want back. The Eagles have been a mark of consistency as long as Jalen Hurts has been under center. But I think the how good is your good question, when Kansas City is clicking on all cylinders, and you would hope they would with the extra week of prep and Patrick Mahomes having an extra few days to get that ankle healthy. I know it's a high ankle sprain, but you would hope the extra week gets him closer to full strength. The experience of this team and some of their stars having been here before, Mahomes multiple times, I'm leaning Kansas City. I think it'll be a fun game, a high-scoring game. I like Kansas City somewhere in the neighborhood of a 30-23, 30-22 type game where they get a score late on and perhaps Philly has a chance to tie it and the defense makes a stop. When I was growing up, we had a number of Super Bowls that you almost watched them as punishment. I mean, it'd be 20 or 30 point games in the fourth quarter. I'd be very, very surprised if this ended up like that. I think this is going to be a game that we remember and a game that's worth tuning in, whether or not you followed the NFL all season.
Well, we can only hope so. Now, I know he is signed and contracted to a rival of ESPN's, but are we expecting Tom Brady to be in the booth? He's got that large contract sorted out for life after football. Is that, are we expecting him to be calling games? Do we know what that looks like, and do we know when that might start?
Well, I know he's somebody who is something of a perfectionist. It's made him perhaps, well, certainly the most accomplished quarterback of all time. And, you know, on any given Sunday, maybe there are quarterbacks who had a stronger arm or better pre-snap, but on the cumulative, you can't argue with his CV. But so much of that came down to preparation. I don't think he would want to get into a booth and do play-by-play without any measure of experience, but it's also hard to put Tom Brady on a second-tier game just because of his stature. It seems as though he may start as an analyst and work his way into the booth, but a lot of that is determined by how quickly he wants to get back into it, if he wants something of a sabbatical, if he wants to take a season off. And, you know, the ball is in his court because of his stature, but I think because he doesn't want to go in there and be anything less than the best, it wouldn't surprise me if he took his time, maybe enjoyed some time on the beach or the golf course. But if he does end up in the booth and ends up there next year, I imagine he will show his readiness pretty quickly. He's a great mind for the game. We've seen in the last couple of years, especially since he's gotten down to Tampa, he has a pretty good and a pretty likable personality, which as somebody who cheered against the Patriots many times, it was kind of a tough pill for me to swallow. But man, I got a little choked up watching his video today. It seemed like he's a very authentic, very funny, very charming guy.
Indeed. Tom Brady's done, but Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts and the Kansas City Chiefs and Philadelphia Eagles are not. We look forward to the build-up to the Super Bowl. Phil Murphy, we can hear and read and see all about it on ESPN as you make your way down to Arizona. Good luck with the packing. Hopefully you choose plenty of pairs of shorts and T-shirts. You won't need the big coats down there in Arizona. Enjoy the Super Bowl, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Josh, thank you so much. Have a good rest of your day.